This is the Vermont Edition podcast. You know what makes a great podcast? Editing. This episode is shorter than the version you heard on air. Enjoy.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Mitch Wertlieb in for Jane Lindholm. After days of suspense last month, Governor Phil Scott decided to veto the legislature's marijuana legalization bill. But in doing so, the governor said he was open to a new bill as long as certain changes are made.
I'll be providing the legislature with recommended changes. And to be clear, if they are willing to work with me to address my concerns in a new bill passed during the veto session this summer, there is a path forward on this issue.
What exactly that path might look like, however, is still at this late juncture not completely clear. Can the Senate, House, and administration reach a compromise that satisfies all parties? And if they do, would House Republicans opposed to legalization be willing to suspend the rules necessary for the bill to move ahead? Today, we're mapping out what might happen next and when on a thorny issue that keeps coming back to Montpelier. And joining us first today to help us understand the landscape is VPR's Bob Kinzel. Hi, Bob.
Hey, Mitch.
So, Bob, you know, attempts to pass a legalization bill in Vermont this year, it seems like they've had more twists and turns than a murder mystery novel. Where do things stand with the legalization effort as of right now?
It has been pretty amazing, hasn't it? You know, I think it's really important to mention something that you mentioned right at the top of the program, and that is no state has legalized marijuana through the legislative process. And all the states that have legalized marijuana, it's been done through the voter referendum process, and of course, that's something that Vermont doesn't have. So that the issues in those legislatures was not, should the state legalize marijuana? Voters had already said yes. The question was, how should it be implemented? And so what we see in Vermont is a very different debate and one that has not taken place across the country. And the House and the Senate have really taken very different approaches to this issue. And just to summarize, the House plan is known as the personal possession approach. It's modeled after the law in Washington, D.C. Individuals can possess up to an ounce of marijuana. They can grow several plants. It would go into effect in July of 2018. No retail stores, no taxation of marijuana, no new revenue. The sale of marijuana would still be illegal. So where you're supposed to get it if you don't grow it is a little bit of a mystery. The Senate plan is that full-blown state regulatory system, the so-called Colorado model. People could buy marijuana at retail stores. The sale of marijuana would be taxed. The state would oversee virtually all operations in the cultivation and sale of marijuana. And very late in the session, there was a compromise in the Senate that said, okay, let's have the personal possession plan go into effect on July 1st of 2018, and let's set up a special commission to study all the issues surrounding the state regulatory approach. The report would be issued in November for lawmakers to consider in January. Any recommendations from the commission would have to be approved by the legislature. It passed easily in the Senate. It passed narrowly in the House. And then, as you mentioned, the governor vetoed it.
So why did the governor veto that compromise bill?
Well, you know, he said he's got several problems with it. And at that press conference where he did veto it, he said he's not against the legalization of marijuana. He says he has a libertarian streak in him that says whatever people want to do in their own home should be legal as long as it doesn't harm anybody else. So as he mentioned that in that clip, he said he would sign a bill in the upcoming veto session if it addressed his major concerns. And I think he has several. One, public safety. He wants to beef up penalties for people who sell marijuana to minors. Two, he wants tougher penalties for people who smoke marijuana in a car when a child is present. Three, he wants a system that can begin to measure driver impairment. And four, he wants an expanded commission to look at all the state regulatory issues, a commission that would include academic folks, health officials, scientists, and he wants that commission to study the issues for at least a year. So it would mean that it'd be at least 2019 before the legislature would vote on that larger state plan. And the governor says, if you can do this, I'll probably sign the bill in the veto sessions. And Senate leaders have been working on a compromise with the governor's office, and they think they're going to have one ready for the governor to consider next week.
There's a lot to unpack there, Bob. One of the issues that you brought up, driver impairment, is something I want to get into a little bit later when we're joined by Joe Benning on the line. But I do want to ask about this commission that you mentioned, which the governor has put forth, because, you know, the House Republicans had set up a commission also as well. But apparently that didn't pass muster, according to Governor Scott. Is this just about the commission part of the bill for its chances passing when they meet June 21st?
I think the commission makeup is very important to the governor. Originally, the commission only had a few members on it. A lot of legislators were on the commission. The governor said, no, that's not good enough. We got to really open this up and expand it and take a lot of time to look at what's happening in Colorado, what is happening in Oregon, Washington, D.C. So he wants this commission to have a very broad charge, look at public safety issues, look at health issues, and then come back after at least a year and make a report to lawmakers.
Now, of course, Bob, all of this is moot if Republicans, House Republicans, don't suspend rules in order to even get this issue brought up for a vote when they meet June 21st. Explain what's happening there.
That's right. Mitch, in order for a bill to pass in this special veto session, which would only last for 2 or 3 days, lawmakers need to give their approval to an expedited process to consider the bill. They need to suspend rules, is what it's called. And House Minority Leader Don Turner says he's going to encourage his caucus not to suspend rules. Now, to suspend the rules, you need 3/4 of the chamber. That's a lot. Some members won't be here for the special session next week, so Turner can probably block this bill if he gets 40 votes to support him. He's got 53 in the caucus, so he can only lose 12 or 13. But we should say that Don Turner has made it very clear that he's not setting this up as a caucus vote. He wants individual members to make their own decision on this issue. Now, this is sort of an interesting twist. Governor Scott says he'll reach out to House GOP members if a compromise is reached before the session to encourage these members to allow the bill to come to the floor for a vote. And basically, the governor will say, hey, if you want to vote against the bill, go right ahead and do that. But at least vote so it can be considered. And the big, big question, Mitch, is how many House Republican members will actually take the governor's advice?
It's amazing how many balls are being juggled at once on this, and it just keeps changing. It really is incredible. Bob, if House Republicans decide not to suspend the rules, are there any other options to get the bill passed in June?
There are, Mitch, and it's the governor who has mentioned these options. Here's what they could do. They could attach the pot bill to the state budget that has to pass. The state government needs money to continue running after July 1st. So they could put the marijuana bill on the budget bill. Now, that puts Don Turner and the House Republicans in a really tough spot. Do they want to basically shut down state government over the marijuana bill? I don't think so. Now, the governor says another option is extending the session by holding what are known as token sessions. This is when just a handful of lawmakers come back that day, but they advance their calendar. And if they did this for 3 or 4 days, they could get the marijuana bill on the House floor for a vote. You know, right now, Mitch, I'm not sure that anybody knows how all of this is going to turn out.
Yeah, and that's what's so fascinating to me, because it seems like the governor, if he wanted to avoid all this drama, you know, is he going to lobby for the Republicans to suspend the rules, et cetera, he could have just let the bill pass even without his signature. He could have done that. But in not doing that, it would seem that the governor is more than willing to just let this wait at least until January. But as you say, we just can't tell at this point.
That's right. I mean, I think he really did have some problems with the original bill, the public safety stuff, and also the work of the commission. And as he mentioned several times, he's not against the legalization of marijuana. He sees the handwriting on the wall. I mean, you've got legalization in Massachusetts. You've got it in Maine. It's coming in Canada. I think the issue for Vermont is not is it going to pass? It's going to be, when will it pass? And, you know, it's kind of interesting. You mentioned at the start of the program that a majority of Vermonters support legalization. But the other question is, they kind of disagree within that majority. They kind of disagree how they want it done. Mm. You've got some folks who like the House approach, this personal possession plan. They think that's the way to go. They really don't want retail stores and what they call big weed coming to Vermont. Other people say, well, that's kind of silly just to go that far. We really do need to have the state overseeing all of this, and that's why the Senate approach is needed.
And just to be clear, Bob, even if during this special veto session a bill does pass, it would not go into effect this year.
That is correct. It would be July 1st of 2018. I think the governor is willing to support that. House leaders and Senate leaders are willing to support that. It's how do they get to that point?
Okay, Bob, hang on the line. I'd like to bring another voice into this conversation. We're going to be speaking now with Republican Senator Joe Benning. He's a proponent of legalization, and he represents Caledonia County. And Senator Benning, thanks for being with us on Vermont Edition today.
Well, thank you, Mitch, and good afternoon, gentlemen.
So, Senator Benning, why do you favor legalization of marijuana in Vermont?
Well, this is going back a long way for me, Mitch, back to the 1970s, unfortunately, when I still had hair. I was, at the time, a guitar player in a rock and roll band, and I had been all through high school. I chose not to use it. I was kind of on the outs with most of my peers because I was somebody who just chose not to use it, and ended up in a rock and roll band where some of the members did, some didn't, and if those who wanted to use decided to, the ones that didn't have a big issue with that. As it happens, one day we were at a house having a practice, and we took a break, and I walked out onto the front porch with a girl and a dog. We sat down on the porch, and I'm suddenly staring up the barrel of a police shotgun, and on the other end of that was a very nervous officer saying he had a warrant to search the house. I did not live in the house. I told him, go ahead, I don't live there. He told the girl to take her dog and go home, which I thought was kind of odd because although she didn't live at the house, neither did I, but the dog did. And so she wasn't dumb. She took the dog and left, and then he told me to go back inside. So being naive as an 18-year-old, I did. Walked back into the house. To make a long story short, they had, in an upstairs bedroom, found two empty hashish pipes. They arrested all of us, although we did not understand at the moment in time that we were being arrested. We were asked to come down to the station to answer some questions, and we all said, yeah, okay. We should have gotten the message when they decided to put handcuffs on us, but we were all trained growing up to be friendly with police officers and to cooperate whenever we were asked, and I hadn't done anything wrong. This was a house that was owned by one of the players in the band. And eventually we got to court. The prosecutor came out to all of us and said, we are going to dismiss the charges involving all the people here except the owner of the house if he'll pay a small fine, whatever it was, like $25 or something at the time. And, of course, we were all for it. So that's the way it went down. Now, that's my senior year in high school. And it happens that I went on through high school, then college, and then into law school. And in my last year of law school, I'm sitting down to fill out an application for a bar exam, and the question is asked, have you ever been arrested? Well, on the day of the arraignment, the prosecutor not only dropped the charge, the police took us to the police station, and in front of my parents and me, took out my file and destroyed it, dropping it into the wastebasket after tearing it up. And I said to them, well, what's the future here? They said, as far as we're concerned, this never happened.
So you didn't have a record, but you were technically arrested.
Well, I pause on that thought because I thought I didn't have a record. And the question on the bar exam is, have you ever been arrested? Now, I thought to myself, well, gee, they told me as far as they were concerned, this never happened. But before I answered the question, I was smart enough to go back to the police station. And lo and behold, there's still a file with my mugshots from back in high school. And I had to go through a process. I grew up in the state of New Jersey. I went through a process called expungement, which Vermont did not have until I came to the legislature. And in the expungement process, it costs money to go through the court system again. But eventually a judge said it was proper for my record to be expunged, which meant it was placed into a sealed file where nobody could have access to it. and by law I was authorized to say I had never been arrested. Well, fast forward, that day stuck with me for a long time because I was accused of doing something I didn't do and didn't care to do, but the ridiculousness of how we treated marijuana enforcement at the time was made very clear to me. And I've been on this ever since. We got to the legislature in 2011, and the very first bill that I signed on to was an expungement bill for Vermont so that people in my circumstances now have a remedy to address that problem. I also happened during that same time period, my first session, to have tried to put an amendment onto a bill that would have legalized a small amount. And I didn't think it was going to go anywhere, but it actually secured, I think, about 11 votes in the Senate. And some of the people who voted against it said they were really in favor of it, but wanted it to go through the committee process in order to figure out how to do it correctly.
Well, Senator Benning, it seems like, you know, you have that story, really, it made an impression on you, obviously, and I can see why you would have some objections to, you know, treating this as a criminal offense. But marijuana in Vermont, we do have a law already on the books that basically says you can't be arrested for Vermont. You get a civil penalty if you're caught with a certain amount, under a certain amount. Why is that not enough?
Well, now you do. That's been a long process. That was not the case when I first came into the legislature. So we've been walking this in baby steps to see how things go. And at some point, you have to get to the place where other states now already are, especially those states that are surrounding us have reached this point, where we recognize we have to have a whole new approach on how we deal with this substance. And it doesn't make any sense anymore to have it either a civil penalty or a criminal penalty. And as states around us are legalizing, we need to take a serious look at how our people interact with this substance here, but also how people drive across the borders and come back with it. That's a question that we cannot just simply let go. We have to deal with it in some way, shape, or form. And I think what we've got in front of us right now is a very good way to proceed.
Today we're talking about whether lawmakers in Montpelier might pass a marijuana legalization bill at a special veto session. It's set for June 21st in Montpelier. I've been speaking with VPR's Bob Kinzel about where legalization efforts stand as of now. And we have with us as well Republican State Senator Joe Benning, who favors marijuana being made legal in Vermont. Bob Kinzel, I want to ask you this question. This is something we started to get to a little bit earlier, and this has to do with one of the objections that Governor Phil Scott has had to all of the marijuana legalization bills that have been put forward so far, and he's concerned about public safety, specifically driver impairment. But as I understand it, there really is no perfect method of testing someone for a sobriety test on the road that's pulled over for suspicion of being high. Is that right?
Well, it's certainly different than what we have for alcohol, which would be a breathalyzer roadside test. So we don't have that opportunity. But we have a growing number of state police officers who are drug recognition experts, DREs. And I think it's felt that if that number could be increased, that might give a good boost to the whole issue of trying to recognize when drivers are impaired. And the governor's also talking about reaching out to governors in the Northeast, certainly in Maine, certainly in Massachusetts, Connecticut, to see if there can be some kind of regional approach and develop a system that would work in all of the states.
Senator Benning, as I understand it, though, the problem is partly that THC, which is the active ingredient in marijuana that gets one high, can actually stay in the bloodstream for quite some time, even after a potential driver, let's say, is sober. So that, in other words, if you're tested, you can show that you've got THC in your blood, but you may not be impaired at the time that you're tested.
Right. And I think it's very important, Mitch, to understand that people are driving under the influence of marijuana today. In fact, I just got in my email box something from the Center for Research on Vermont today, where a research student from UVM went to Virgin's Union High School and came back saying in Addison County, 13% of students who drove a car in the past 30 days got behind the wheel after using cannabis. Now, I haven't researched those statistics or how she came to that conclusion, but let's just assume for the point of discussion that that's the case. If 13% of students who are getting behind the wheel of a car right now in the past 30 days have consumed cannabis, any kind of legalization attempt right now isn't going to change what's currently happening. Would there be a spike? We don't know. It's possible. But the bottom line is there's a problem on our roadsides. The presence of THC is not the problem. The problem is whether somebody is under the influence at that moment in time. And a DRE, drug recognition expert, is supposed to be trained to ask the right questions, look for the proper evidence, and feel out the situation in a way that we did decades ago for drunk drivers before we had anything called a data master test. And I hate to say it, but I've been practicing law long enough now that I can look back in time and say, you know, when I started, there was no such thing as a data master test. Officers were trained how to ask the right questions, make observations about the individual's physical appearance, and get any kind of evidence that might be available to them in order to prosecute someone for drunk driving. The same has to be done today. If they were to invent a device tomorrow which would tell us exactly where somebody was on the scale of impairment at a time that they were last driving the car after using cannabis, the bottom line is that device is going to be subject to years and years of litigation in the court system before it gets perfected the same way that a data master test has gotten to today.
We're going to get to some phone calls now. Lots of folks want to weigh in on this issue. Eli is calling from East Burke. Hello, Eli. You're on Vermont Edition.
Thank you for taking my call, Linda, and thank you for Senator Benning. I think this it's important to be factually accurate about the dangers of driving. And keep in mind, you know, nobody gets pulled over because their car smells like weed. They get pulled over because of erratic driving. So a breathalyzer is not going to change that fact. My greater point was that, you know, I think as someone who is an advocate that met with some part of the Scott team a few weeks ago, is that it's the fundamental perspective shift that I hope the administration will take into account, and that Vermonters want less enforcement of cannabis, not more. Driving while high, nobody wants that, but as Senator Benning mentioned, it's happening already. If we took a more proactive stance with actual regulation, we could be funding public education campaigns. We could be getting real information out there. So, you know, looking at a potential compromise, which would take a lot of willpower and sort of mechanics to get through, I think it's just important to keep that perspective in mind, and that Vermonters and people around the country are clear. It's less policing of cannabis, not more. More economic activity, more jobs, more common sense, less policing. So I hope that we can start to see it through that lens instead of more law enforcement being involved.
Eli, thank you very much for that call. Let's go to the phones. Also, we've got Melody on the line from Barnett. Hi, Melody.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
I am very disappointed in Joe Benning. I gave him my vote. I think he's taking a personal approach to the marijuana issue that goes way back, as he said, in time. I also think that people say other surrounding area states are going to approve it. My mother always taught me if you just because everybody else is doing it doesn't mean it's right, and I hold fast to that. I think we should be listening to the medical professionals and not approving marijuana. I think we have enough dangers on the highway, and if marijuana is approved, it'll increase. Maybe it's already happening, but it'll increase. And I'm concerned about that safety. And Joe Benning's going to lose my vote because he's just doing it as a personal approach. I'm very disappointed.
Senator Benning, you want to respond to Melody's concerns?
Sure. First off, I'll thank Melody for calling in. There is a history in all of us as we approach this subject. I have now spent hundreds of hours researching what has gone on in other states. When we go back to the RAND report, which was a very expensive document constructed to examine what's actually happening in Vermont right now, I was astounded by the numbers that they came back with. Some 80,000 plus Vermonters are using on a regular basis. They're spending millions on this substance. We can stick our heads in the sand and say, we just don't want it. We're going to pretend it doesn't exist. We're not going to do anything about it. That, to me, is very troubling. If you ask any high school student, and we've asked dozens, ask them this question. What's easier for you to get, marijuana or alcohol? 99.9% of the time you will get the response, marijuana. That's very troubling to me. How do we combat that? We're not doing so successfully right now. This is the fundamental difference, and I'm going to go back to Eli now because he's identified the difference between the House approach and the Senate approach in this discussion. The House approach would like to simply legalize. The Senate, on the other hand, has come along and said, well, if you simply legalize, it has to be purchased somewhere unless you know how to grow it yourself, and most people, I'm going to suggest, don't. So that means you're continuing the black market to provide the supply that's currently being supplied today. How do we combat that? The Senate approach would be develop a tax and regulatory scheme where we have it controlled at point of sale and point of seed so that all of this is monitored on a constant basis. You get to the discussion of what it is that's actually being consumed, something we cannot do right now. You create a revenue stream that is not currently in existence, which enables you to bring on more DREs, control through laboratory testing what is being sold, monitor the delivery at points of retail sale, just like alcohol, which is the impediment that I believe is in front of those same high school kids who are now telling us this stuff is way too easy to get.
Senator Benning, we're getting some news right now. The Vermont Press Bureau Chief Neil Goswami is reporting that a bill has actually been sent to Governor Scott. They sent it Thursday. I'm assuming this would be a compromise bill on this issue that he would then act on or try to act on perhaps at the veto session. Not heard back yet from the governor, according to Dick Sears, the Democratic chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee. Bob Kinzel, if a bill has been sent, a compromise bill, to the governor, then is the ball pretty much in his court at this point?
I think it would be. And if anybody knows anything about that bill, it would be Senator Benning. Senator, did you sign off on that compromise?
Bob, you and I have had some discussion that there has been a group meeting on this for a very long time, and it's been headed by Senator Sears on the Senate side and Maxine Grad in the House side. I'd like to compliment both of them for taking this discussion and being very forthright and honest about what's been happening, although not 100% able to release it at various points in time as progress has been made for various reasons. But the nutshell is this. There has been a bill that has been generated as a result of the conversations between the administration, the House, and the Senate. That bill has been presented to the governor. We are waiting to hear back. I believe there is going to be consensus on this subject. There may be some further tweaks, but we were close enough the first time that it got presented that all of us, I think, realized that first, legalization will happen in July of 2018, and secondly, there will be a commission put in place to try to figure out how, why, and what should be done to try to monitor and potentially tax this entire situation. I know that there's a hurdle that remains with the House as to whether or not they're going to agree to a rule suspension. I have great respect for Don Turner, who is the minority leader in the House. I know he has a strong position on this subject. I personally have spoken to Don, and it is my understanding that he is going to have a caucus on this subject and that they will be deciding amongst themselves how they want to proceed on this. This would be the House Republicans. I know that there are valuable opinions in certain House Republican members on how this should be approached. I value their wisdom, their experience, their concerns. I personally would hope that they'd want to be involved in this conversation rather than saying we don't want to talk about it at all.
Senator Benning, we have some comments that have come in. One of them, someone named Freedom, or calling themselves Freedom, is posting that it took Oregon only a few months to enact its law. There are four states with functional marketplaces, four others on the way. Vermont has no excuse. The legislature is obstructing the will of the people. Why? Rick posts, from high school kids to oldsters, most folks have long had access to cannabis, so if we ever manage to pass a law and get it signed by the governor, nothing much will change. And the six states that have legalized, predictions of doom and catastrophe from legalization have not materialized. But the question I want to ask you, Senator Benning, is there a reason that you can see to pass something in this special veto session now? Why not wait till January? Why not wait a little longer, take a look at what other states are dealing with, Is there a reason that you can see for passing it sooner rather than later?
Well, let me start by saying we've been looking at this conversation, seriously looking at this conversation for well over 3 years now, based on what Colorado and Oregon and other states have done. We have gone through with a fine-tooth comb everything those states have done, trying to figure out what they did right and what they did wrong. The one reason I would like to be able to say we get it through during the veto session is that the commission that's being established would have more time to work prior to July of 2018. I know that's frustrating to a lot of people, but you have to remember the bill that got vetoed called for legalization in July of 2018. So we're not delaying anything on the legalization front. We are trying to put in motion a commission, and the only real discussion that's taking place during the veto session part of it is, should that commission get underway now, or is it going to have to wait until January when we get formal approval?
Well, what's your feeling, Senator, if I had to make you make a prediction one way or the other, what do you think is going to happen on June 21st? Do you think there's a chance that this bill could get through?
Well, I think one of the most important things to remember is this is not the highest thing on the radar screen. I know it is for some people, but we have a budget that is our number one priority. We have got to get jobs, and we have to get the state budget all under control, and that is the first priority. Would I like to see it pass during the veto session? I think it can be done because we do have the ability to juggle several things at one time, and this is only two, but the bottom line is it's a question mark in my mind right now because I just don't know what the numbers are on the House side, and I'm not in the loop. I know individuals have suggested they are ready to say it's inevitable. Let's get involved in the conversation. I'm hoping that's where Republicans in the House will go.
Okay, State Senator Joe Benning representing Caledonia County. I want to thank you so much for joining us today on Vermont Edition. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Mitch.
And Bob Kinzel. Bob, thank you so much for bringing us up to date on what is happening with the nuts and bolts of this. We're all going to be watching and seeing if there's yet another twist in all of this come June 21st. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Mitch.